Hello, Capital Community. This is Ben Sparkman addressing you as part of the diaspora. Linda and I are here in the United States. We will be here in the United States, but our hearts continue to be with you there in Beijing and with our friends at Capital Community. And today I have the privilege of continuing our series on hope for the future and peace for the day from 2 Thessalonians. And I want to thank Jeff and John for setting the table so well for me and for us as we continue this series. And I think it's very relevant to our situation today because we really are facing a lot of challenges, a lot of fears, and a lot of anxieties. Go ahead and listen to their sermon so you can have a backdrop for what we're talking about, but I will just try to pick up from where they did in chapter 2. Now, 3 days ago, I received a phone call from my son, Daniel, who said, "Dad, this is going to be the worst week in my life." And what he meant by that is he's in a business where he's basically being asked to do a roughly 6 to 7 weeks of work all in 1 week. It's just all crashing in on the same time. So he's just going to be multitasking. He's not going to have much time to sleep and rest or think. He's just going to have to endure. So certainly we have been praying for them, but it started making me think about some of the worst weeks or worst times in my life. And I reflected on time actually when I was 7 years old. And so on October 26th, it was so traumatic. I still know to this day the date. On October 26th, 1969, I had my friend invited me over to have a sleepover at his house on Saturday night. He lived very close to where I grew up. And my parents said, "That is fine, but they go to a different church. Ben, we want you to go to our church, go to Sunday school at our church on Sunday morning. So take your Sunday clothes, go have the sleepover, and then go to church at 9:30. Fine, I said I could do that. My parents trusted me. I felt very believed in. Had a great time with my friend, got up Sunday morning and left at about 9:15 and walked to Sunday school at my church. And when I got there, it was very odd. There was no one there. I usually see more people outside, and they were not there. I went into the Sunday school classroom. Nobody was there. My friends weren't there. My teacher wasn't there. No one was there. I went around the corner to the other class where usually we have friends. No one was there. I started getting worried, and then all of a sudden, I had a thought. I had remembered some teaching about Jesus and the rapture and how Jesus at one time, spectacular time, will call up all the good believers to be with him in heaven. And those who have not placed their faith in Christ for salvation would still be on the earth. And it dawned on me, the rapture happened and it passed me by. I missed it. But really, I was just horrified. So I started crying. I ran out of the church. My parents lived very close to the church. So I ran those few minutes to get home, knocked on the door, and it's always a good thing to come home and to be received. But when my mom opened the door, my thought was, well, at least mom will be here with me as everyone else has been raptured. Now, by now, you might have guessed what had happened because it is happening just this week here in the United States that day happened to be daylight savings. And I did not know to change my watch, my clock, so I had shown up at church an hour early, and that is why no one was there. But I can remember to this day the trauma and the panic I felt, and it was because I'd had okay teaching, but not great teaching on the rapture. So this time that we get together today, my goal is actually to save you those 5 minutes of trauma. From this passage, we can clearly teach on what the rapture will be like in a sense, and what we can expect and what we don't expect. But also, I want to have us take a step back and see the part that this story plays in God's grand story where he is bringing all the glory to himself. So as we look at that, let's open up our scriptures, our Bibles, and look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I will start reading in verse 1. Concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him, we ask you, brothers and sisters, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by the teaching allegedly from us, whether by a prophecy or by word of mouth or letter, asserting that the day of the Lord has already come. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. He will oppose and he will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshipped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. Don't you remember that when I was with you to tell you these things? And now you know what is holding him back, so that he may be revealed at the proper time. For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work, but the one who now holds it back will continue to do so till he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with how Satan works. He will use all sorts of displays of power through signs and wonders that serve the lie, and all the ways that wickedness deceives those who are perishing. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie, and so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth, but have delighted in wickedness. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, I pray that as we look at this passage of Scripture, your Holy Spirit will lead and guide us into all truth, that you will soften our hearts to respond to your message of love for us and for the world, and that, Father, we will genuinely leave this message, this chapter, as changed men and women because of the work of your Spirit through your Holy Word. I pray this in the powerful name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, in order to look at this teaching, this unique teaching from Paul to the Church of Thessalonica, we want to look at the context in Thessalonica, but we also want to look at the grand picture, the big story of God's redemption. The church in Thessalonica, as you will remember from the earlier messages, was a church that was thriving. It was doing very, very well, but they were also experiencing suffering, and there were questions about the return of Christ or the day of judgment, the day of the Lord, when the Lord would come back in all his glory and majesty and reveal his glory to the world. So Paul and Timothy and Silas wanted to clear up these questions, and specifically in chapter 2, we see that. So from this context, we want to look at this progression that Paul tells us about how things will be in the last days. And in verse 7 here in chapter 2, we see that there is a current power of lawlessness with restraint that is active in the church of Thessalonica. It is active today in the age of the church. And this power of lawlessness is, in a sense, in a battle with us. But then it will progress to a time when the restraint will be removed, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in a little bit. The restraint will be removed, and then a specific man, a man of lawlessness, will be revealed. Then the man of lawlessness will be overthrown, And in verse 8, we also see that by the breath of Christ, the breath of Jesus, the man of lawlessness will be overthrown and the splendor of the Lord's coming will be revealed. So that is the basic progression, but we're going to kind of unpack that a little bit more, and we're going to look at, call them the players, the agents in this story, or the characters that are in this story. So in verses 3 and 4, and also in verse 8, we again see this man of lawlessness that is doomed for destruction. Now this is a specific person that will come to power, that Satan, in verse 9, we see how Satan will use this man to display signs and wonders and to draw the worship that is due to the holy God to himself, away from God and to himself. So this is what the man of lawlessness will do. But there is one who is holding him back. In verses 6 and 7, we see the restrainer is holding the man of lawlessness back and the spirit of lawlessness. Now, there is theological debate on who this restrainer is, but let me humbly put forward to you today that that restrainer is the Holy Spirit. God has sent his Holy Spirit to restrain, to limit the power of this man of lawlessness and the spirit of lawlessness, both for our protection, but also so that the story, the grand story of God's glory can play out. And then we see the star of the story, the Lord Jesus Christ, coming back in all of his splendor and glory and overthrowing the man of lawlessness and revealing himself in his glory. Now, this is an interesting story because normally you and I would be the audience and we would be sitting in a movie theater simply watching a movie before us or a play or a drama. But this is an interactive story, and certainly God is the star. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But God has made this story first and foremost to reveal his glory, but also to show his love for us. So we actually participate in this grand story, the story that goes from creation through the fall to redemption and then to restoration. So as you and I participate in this story, there's actually two ways we can participate. There is negative participation, which we can see in chapter 2, where we see that we can be deceived, we can be deluded, we can take our eyes off the truth, and we can say to God, no, we do not want any part of that. So let me pick up for us in verse 10. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie, and so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth but have delighted in wickedness. This is our negative participation in the story. Now, interestingly here, it says also that God sends them a powerful delusion in verse 11. And this sounds very unfair of God, very unkind of God. But if we think about the whole of Scripture, we see this has happened before. During the Exodus, when Moses went to Pharaoh and said, let my people go. The first many times, Pharaoh hardened his heart. And here we see that after a while, God just gave Pharaoh over to his hardened heart, and it starts saying, and the Lord God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Later in Romans chapter 1, we see that men are starting to worship things rather than God. Men are starting to do all kinds of sinful acts. And a couple of times, Paul uses the phrase, and God gave them over to their sinful lust. So we see that if you are deluded, if you refuse to take part positively in God's grand story, there can come a time where God will give you over and harden your heart so that you will not be able to see the truth. You will not be able to see the glory of God. So that is our negative participation in this story. But Paul also lets us see what our positive participation in the story can be. And if you look in verses 2 through 5, you can see that Paul says, number 1, do not easily be alarmed or unsettled or deceived. And then he says in verse 5, remember what I taught you when I was with you. Paul asked the church in Thessalonica, and he tells us today, remember the teaching that I have given you. We have all of Scripture, which tells us about the glory of God, about the return of Jesus, and how he will call us together as his church. So remember the teaching and step positively into that story. So, men and women, this is an opportunity, an invitation that Paul is giving us to step positively in the story. Are we going to choose to be deceived and to close our hearts to God's invitation to take part in this story for his glory and his majesty? Or are we going to step in and not be deceived and to believe him and step into this story? So I want to leave you with a couple of questions for reflection. Number 1, what circumstances today are challenging you to become easily unsettled, alarmed, or even deceived? Number 2, how would you describe your current role in God's grand plan, grand story of redemption? And lastly, how are you responding to the invitation to love the truth? Not just to read the Bible as an intellectual exercise, but to open your heart to see the love of God that he has for you. Let me close this in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for this opportunity to let your word change our lives and allow us to step into this grand story of redemption, this story where you are the main character. Your glory is on display, and you give us the privilege of taking part in this grand story. Father, I pray for myself, and I pray for everyone listening to this, that you, through your Holy Spirit, would touch our hearts, that you would give us faith and courage in these days of challenge and anxiety, that you would allow us to see the great part that we can play through your grace, and that you would give our hearts the courage to step into this story, positively participate, and glorify your Son, Jesus Christ. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.